Howdy guys, Jimmy Song here. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Tech Talk. This is issue number 160. This is a show I do every Monday when I can, talking about the newsletter. If you haven't subscribed to the newsletter, the links are down below in the description. Anyway, a lot of stuff going on this week. Obviously, the price rise has everyone sort of excited, concerned. I'm not sure. I think generally they're happy, but at the same time, kind of wondering how much China has to do with all of this. All of those things I'm happy to talk about and answer. Just ask the questions in the live chat. I'm looking at it right now as we speak. Anyway, let's go over the actual stuff. Here is the Bitcoin Tech Talk newsletter. Again, you can subscribe using the link below. Please like and pound that like and subscribe button if you want to be notified when I am going live with this stuff. Anyway, some things I want to show beforehand. Please apply either for the seminar or for the scholarship that I have available for my seminar that's coming up next week. I have a bunch to give away. I just don't have that many applicants. So I would love to, give to those that are qualified. Many people that have gone through the scholarships are now kind of prominent in the space. So, it's a good stepping stone into getting your hands dirty and getting into this space if you are a programmer. So please do so if you are, interested. My book is available on Amazon, Programming Bitcoin, and my other book is also available on Amazon. The price has gone up a little bit. This is the paperback edition. We also have the Spanish edition for those of you that are El Pequeño Libro de Bitcoin, I think is what it's called. This is the Spanish edition of the book, and you can kind of take a look at it. And no real reviews yet because it just got translated. But yeah, it's available on the Kindle and in paperback in Spanish. As far as the winners of the scholarship, I'll be announcing them in the next couple of days. So please go and apply. All right, so let's take a look at all of the stories from this thing. So Taproot is now available or to be reviewed. AJ, Anthony Towns, core developer from Australia, has put everything together. There's a bunch of things. They're sort of organizing or putting a little more scaffolding around the actual review of the Taproot BIP. This is otherwise known as SegWit V1. So we're currently on SegWit V0. This will be making it into SegWit V1. There's a lot of different parts to this, including Schnorr, Taproot, SigHash no input, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So the idea here is to, first of all, sign up for, if you are interested in reviewing this, you need to sign up fairly soon. And then there will be some structured reviews for the next 6 weeks. And then December 15th to 21st will be the wrap up. So, if you are a developer, a core developer, or somebody that wants to learn this stuff, this is a great way to learn more about what's coming and why it's happening and all of that stuff. So totally encourage you to sign up for this, even if you're not necessarily, deep in core code. If you're a competent developer, I think this is something that that would benefit you. I certainly signed up. We'll see exactly how everything plays out, but I'm very excited for this. All right, here is an article from Casa, Why Run a Full Node? And it's a quick read, but this it's a nice way to talk about why you need to run a node, and specifically with Lightning and all of the ways in which you have to add security for a Lightning channel, it makes sense to run a full node in many ways. So they're obviously shilling their product, but I'm happy to shill it for them too. I mean the Casa node and having some sort of Lightning full node to go with your Lightning node is a very good idea. So read this article, send it around to people that don't really understand why you need a full node. Very good article. All right, 21 million already exist. All right, this blog post from Unchained Capital. They've been doing some great work recently. They've been writing a lot on different things. Parker Lewis has a whole series. Dhruv has a bunch. This a new one. Phil Geiger talking about what the supply of Bitcoin is. It's normally said that Bitcoin has 18 million mined. You got 3 million more. His contention is that it's already 21 million, and that's how everyone's sort of thinking of it, or how it's valued and so on, and that the 21 million limit is kind of sacred in this whole thing. Anyway, great article. Encourage you to read it. All right, CoinJoin and Plus Token. All right, tracking the Plus Token whale, attempted Bitcoin mixing and its impact on Wasabi wallet. So this was posted by Samurai, and Samurai and Wasabi have kind of a beef with each other, saying, something's wrong with you or whatever. Turns out that Plus Token is a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme, something like that. And they've been using Bitcoin as a way to collect the fees. And then they've been trying to go and use the Bitcoin to CoinJoin and sort of wash all of their coins or launder all of their coins using Wasabi's CoinJoin. Except they're saying, it wasn't a very good mix because in the end you can figure out where everything's going. Anyway, interesting article just with respect to CoinJoin and what sort of analysis you can do and things like that. Still something that we're learning more about. So something to think about. Okay, Snickerbip. So Snicker is non-interactive coin join with keys for encryption reused. It's a really interesting idea because most coin joins require interaction, and that's the hard part about it. And interaction basically means that you have to stay online, you have to do multiple things in multiple rounds. So you have to sign something once or reveal something once, and then everyone does it, and then you sign after you validate what they've revealed, and then and do things that way and so on. And it can be a little bit tricky if you have that interaction, but non-interactive coin join, that's really interesting because you just do it once and then like it gets broadcast at some point. Anyway, there's a whole BIP out for it. If you understand the EC math, this will be enlightening to you as far as exactly what the point of it and how the coin join is going to go. But yeah, Snicker, very interesting idea. The BIP's drafted. It's been in the works for a little bit, but yeah, great introduction and well, I mean specification too. All right, Lightning. Thoughts on CoinSwap privacy relative to Lightning? So anonymous developer ZMNSCPXJ has posted this very interesting thought about how CoinSwap privacy is very similar to Lightning. And this whole the idea is that there was this protocol called CoinSwap that was talked about in the Bitcoin dev mailing list, and he brought it to the Lightning dev mailing list and said, you could kind of do something very similar on Lightning. So if you are a Lightning developer or are thinking about it, this is the sort of stuff that goes on in the Lightning dev stuff. All right. So apparently during the Lightning dev conference in Berlin, HODL, HODL, and Blue Wallet are going to partner up so you can basically do non-custodial peer-to-peer exchange with Blue Wallet and HODL, HODL. So you can essentially exchange Lightning Lightning Bitcoins for USD or some other currency and vice versa. So really interesting idea, especially if you can keep the channel open using submarine swaps or something like that. Anyway, cool stuff. Encourage you to read that as well. All right, so let's see if there are any other questions before I move on to my tweets and so on. When will you announce the winners? Like I said, in the next couple of days. Jimmy, are you bullish on China news? A lot of people on Twitter are worried about blockchain tech being used by the CCP, but doesn't it just give Bitcoin more exposure to people under their regime? Yeah, to some degree. I mean, I think most people like already have exposure in terms of like eyeballs. Like most people have at least heard about Bitcoin. Do they understand what it is? Not really. But we don't really know. So part of the whole deal, with China like doing their own currency, they're trying to get in on the hype a little bit. And as usual, government bureaucrats are probably the last people to the party on anything. So, the fact that China is now into blockchain, not Bitcoin, is not a surprise at all. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I've said before that, a centralized blockchain currency is very similar to a central banker's wet dream because they know exactly how much is being spent where, and they get all these aggregate statistics and so on. So I suspect that China already kind of has that with WeChat. I think that's how pretty much everyone in China does their transactions these days. So the fact that, they're talking about this, I'm not sure what it's gaining them other than maybe like some international prestige or something. Hopefully it's better sales of my book once it's translated into Chinese, which is coming. All right, what do you think the last Bitcoin mined will be worth, Jimmy? I have no idea. All right, so let's go to my Twitter and let's go back to the last time that I did the show. Let's see, today is the 28th, so it would be the 21st. Yeah, there we go. All right, so let's take a look at these tweets. More homes in China are being bought as second homes than as first homes, many of which lie empty. Think about what this means. Store of value is so terrible there that they're willing to buy real estate that doesn't generate any revenue and is taxed continually to escape it. This is based on some stats that I saw. There's more second homes being bought than first homes, and almost as many third homes as first homes, which is kind of a remarkable statistic if you think about it. And a lot of them are empty. I don't know if you've heard of Chinese ghost cities or whatever, but that's kind of what's going on. Is the government is building these tremendous cities with lots and lots of apartments, but there's like nobody living in them. Now, why are they building these and how are they getting used? Well, there's a huge demand for store of value in China. And the fact of the matter is that their currency is actually not a great store of value, right? Because the government keeps inflating it. There's a trade war happening and they print more and so on. So in order to combat that, they put it into real estate. Now, if you're rich enough in China, what you end up doing is buying foreign property because that's not as tied to your own economy. And that way you can hedge a little better by buying, say, a property in Vancouver or New York or something like that instead of China. So, but for people that are more, domestic, can't afford that much. I mean, this is a good store of value as any. And their bet is that the population will increase, which I'm not necessarily so sure about in China, given their one-child policy from, however long ago that they recently changed. But I mean, it's kind of hard to turn back on demographic trends like that. Anyway, that tells you that store of value is this thing that's very difficult to have in a fiat economy, and they purposefully make it that way. And the fact that you can get out of it is with real estate, with all of the friction and transaction costs, the fact that they're doing that is kind of indicative. Anyway, that was the point of the tweet. All right, unpopular opinion. The energy usage complaint about Bitcoin is not going away and will be used as justification for shitcoins for a long time to come. And this is something that I've said before about the, well, actually, I haven't said this before, but it occurs to me that this is going to be the justification going forward for a long For a long time. And this is because not a lot of people understand energy markets, and even fewer people understand money and you know, what hardness of money means. So this is going to be sort of the populist argument against Bitcoin for a long time. And I think it's very incumbent upon us Bitcoiners to understand how to combat this particular argument, because it's going to be such a big part going forward. That said, I mean, people are going to turn to Bitcoin anyway, just because it is hard money. And you know, they'll learn sooner or later. But the quicker we can do that, the better it will be. I have a question over here. Most centralized dictatorship country, China, wants to promote decentralized technology, blockchain. Who can believe that? Well, it's not really decentralized. That's the thing. Most blockchain tech is really centralized. All right, let's take a look at the next tweet. This, unfortunately, was a dud of a tweet. Malinvestments, Delenda Est. I was reading a book on Rome and stuff like that. So Carthago, Delenda Est was the thing that I was thinking of. Malinvestments, Delenda Est. That's basically that should be the rallying cry of Austrian economists everywhere. But that's essentially what fiat economy induces, is a lot of investments. Delenda Est means must be destroyed. That's it. Malinvestments must be destroyed instead of propped up. Oh, gosh, I hate these things. If you guys ever wonder why I don't reply to tweets, it's because I have my replies like turned off, and I have that turned off notifications for almost everything turned off because of scams like this. If you want me to reply and interact more on Twitter, you're gonna have to talk to Jack, because it's kind of unusable when that happens. All right, remember folks, most of what you read is theater at best, outright lies at worst. Bitcoin fixes this. Yeah, and this is something that I've noticed more and more, is that people just say stuff to get attention, oftentimes like complete lies just to get attention. And it's that's kind of what it takes, because it causes an emotional reaction. And it's very short-term behavior, because it gives you sort of that outrage mentality, or that short burst of satisfaction at being outraged at somebody or something like that. That's kind of how the news is currently situated. As we go to a more low time preference economy and society with Bitcoin, it's my view that a lot of that will go away, or the people that do that will suffer and learn. That's basically it. All right. This is a response to something. I didn't expect that interruption. All right, so let's take a look at this one. For Bitcoin, everything is a Xanatos gambit. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically from the show Gargoyles back in the 90s. A Xanatos gambit is something where, you come out okay either way, right? Like something happens, then it's good for you. Something, the complete opposite happens, and it's still good for you. And basically, I was retweeting this thing. Everything is good for Bitcoin. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's for Bitcoin, everything is a Xanatos gambit. All right, let's take a look at the next one. Evil is the root of all kinds of fiat money. I was trying to be clever here, but it wasn't too popular. Basically, money is the root of all kinds of evil. Or the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, is the biblical verse, but I twisted it around. Evil is the root of all kinds of fiat money. Probably should have put greed there, but yeah, I mean, that's essentially what that is. It's a lot of people want to create altcoins and so on because of greed, or justifying their greed in some way, shape, or form. All right, let's take a look at this one. All inefficiency is the result of belief not matching reality. Fair markets punish this inefficiency and bring people closer to the truth. The reason so many people seem so delusional these days is because markets are becoming less fair. Bitcoin fixes this. All right, so what am I talking about? I'm talking about really this last thing. There are a lot of delusional people. There are people that are proclaiming stuff that's completely and easily, disprovable just by facts and normal like just observations or reality. But a lot of people are really delusional these days. And my argument here is that when there's inefficiency, you have more delusion. And the reason there is more inefficiency is because it is because there's fiat money, and that fiat money causes a lot of inefficiency and so on. So that's the idea behind that tweet there. All right, the biggest wins are all cutting out the worst things in your life: sugar, processed foods, drugs, alcohol, news propaganda, toxic people. And this is just straight up, something that I've learned over the years, especially from Nassim Taleb's book, Anti-Fragile, talking about via negativa. Getting rid of things tends to give you a lot better return on your time and investment than putting in new things. And these are things that I think if you cut out, you will have a much better time of it. How do we actively pro Lee has an interesting question. Maybe I'll have another show to talk about that at some point. All right, the real evil of news is that they frame the issues. This manipulates the viewers into swallowing their version of what is or is not acceptable, important, and agreed upon by others. Bitcoin fixes this. All right, first of all, I think the first part of the statement pretty much everyone agrees with. When you have news, essentially they frame the debate and saying it's this versus that. And that framing is really where the manipulation is happening. If an entity is framing a decision in a certain way, it gives you the bounds of what's acceptable or not. And that's really the sinister thing about news or propaganda or anything that you listen to or are influenced by. Mostly, they give you a place to do the thinking and give you and you swallow pretty much the frame whole hog, which is actually kind of terrible. Anyway, Peter Woolley objected, "I agree this is a problem, but I don't see how it relates to Bitcoin at all." And I basically explained that news is often subsidized by governments and fiat money. And obviously, if they have to hold to a balanced budget, there isn't as much money going into these things. A lot of newsrooms, even stuff like ABC News, NBC, CBS, they are all money losing propositions. And the only reason why all of those broadcast networks run those news channels is because that's demanded by the government. As part of the FCC licensing, if you have a channel locally, you have to have like an hour of news and local news and an hour of national news, something like that. And part of the bargain is that they don't have to pay for the FCC licensing and so on. Now, this is supposedly a public good or whatever, but really what it ends up being is sort of a propaganda arm. And this happens in nearly every country, right? Like the BBC is entirely funded by the British government. And lots of newspapers and so on get some sort of subsidy or some sort of or by rich people or the government or something like that. Anyway, all of that is to say, fiat money causes a lot of this propaganda. Like this is what government spends a lot of money on. And if you get rid of that, then well, which Bitcoin will, then you fix a lot of it. That was my point. All right, let's take a look at the next one. Most people won't learn something new until they're horribly inconvenienced. That's why if you're in Bitcoin now, you're early. And this is true. You are early. That's the key thing. Most people don't switch until they absolutely have to. And if you think you're late, well, you're not, because there's a lot of people that want Bitcoin or that will need Bitcoin later on, and they don't have the slightest clue about it, slightest interest in it. There's a study, or I think as of 20 years ago, there was like 1990s or something like that. There was a stat about how many people still rented their phones from their telephone company. Now think about that, right? Like, who rents a phone, right? Like, these are landlines back in the 90s. And it turned out that it generated several million a month for AT&T in like rental income from phones. Like, people just didn't bother upgrading to something nicer, even though it was like $10 or $20 a month or something like that to rent the phone. And these were really old phones, like rotary phones or whatever. They just kept getting charged. That's how much momentum matters, right? Like, if your body at rest, you're not gonna change things. And the fact of the matter is, most people are very comfortable in fiat. So until you're absolutely forced, you're not going to move. And that's why we're all early. And that was the point of that tweet. All right. This was my most popular tweet this week. Each order of magnitude increases in order of magnitude increase in Bitcoin price brings new enemies: $10 hackers, $100 law enforcement, $1,000 businesses that won't control, $10,000 regulators. What enemy will $100,000 bring? And the point of that is, Bitcoin actually needs to have an enemy. It actually works well when there's something that's testing it, that's making it more anti-fragile. And that was the point of the tweet. I mean, I think people got it because it got 1,300 likes. But yeah, that was the idea. All right, people who have gone through hyperinflation, what are some things that surprised you about it? Some really interesting replies. A lot of people talked about how you could sort of pay off a house really quickly, and loans from a bank become really useful. And later on, like, you can use that for whatever. So, very interesting stuff there. Let's see, what other stuff is there? Let's see. Well, no matter how much you think you've prepared, you're going to be surprised at what happens in the next bull run. It's just true. Every bull run, I mean, we've had like four or five, but every bull run is a little different. I'm just warning you guys, it's going to be different this time too. When it comes to accumulating, set it and forget it is the cognitively easiest. Decisions made to time the market or some such are zero sum at best. Yeah, don't, unless you're a trading professional, essentially don't trade. Just go and buy on like a regular basis with dollar cost averaging, or just buy all at once or whatever. But like, trading back and forth, unless you're a professional trader, you're going to have a tough time. All right, what will be the biggest event of 2020? I expected it to be BTC halving, and it was. All right. We should totally use ATM technology for healthcare, music rights, and real estate. It's just sort of tongue-in-cheek sarcasm about blockchain, not Bitcoin. You know that one guy or gal that's in a relationship that's clearly wrong for them and makes every excuse in the world for their significant other's behavior? The same psychology is working in altcoin holders. If you think about it, it's kind of like a bad relationship, holding an altcoin. I'm just saying, you might want to dump it. All difficulty adjustment algorithms have to rely on the speed of the blocks that come before the current block. The delay for the adjustment to kick in is when the miners are making money. BCH will switch proof of work algorithms or to proof of stake in the next year. Essentially, right now, what's happening on BCH is that miners are playing a game where the difficulty adjustment gets harder and harder to, gets easier for a time. They mine a ton of blocks and then they go off the network. This was what was happening with the emergency difficulty adjustment, but they're not doing it with the new algorithm because they figured out how. And this tweet series from Daniel Alexiuk is basically pointing out that fact. And I'm saying, well, only way to correct that is switch proof of work algorithms or proof of stake. It's going to happen in the next year, is my guess, probably after the halving, when it gets even worse. The biggest and easiest tool of authoritarian oppression is monetary policy. Reject the status quo, start with Bitcoin. And that is the truth. Authoritarian oppression almost always happens with monetary policy. All right, let me show my stuff again. Please apply for the San Francisco Programming Blockchain Seminar happening November 5th and 6th. Please apply for the scholarship if you are interested. I have some to give away. Please buy my book, Programming Bitcoin by O'Reilly. And please buy my book, El Pequeño Libro de Bitcoin, and the Little Bitcoin Book. It's available on Amazon. Anyway, thank you all very much for watching. This song is done.